We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support. Well, it's right there in 1 Timothy. It's where Paul begins with Timothy to return to the things that he learned as a child at the foot of his mother and his grandmother, being taught in the Christian faith, being taught the scriptures. And Paul even refers to Timothy as my true child in the faith. He regards himself as one who stands in that line of instructors to Timothy. And now Timothy is in a position to be a teacher and an instructor himself in the church as a fledgling pastor. And so you often think about a pastor being made in seminary. But the truth of the matter is pastors are made and formed from the very beginning by their Christian parents and grandparents and relatives and pastors and teachers and Sunday school teachers. And seminary just kind of puts the icing on the cake. Joining us to talk about and discuss this is a Sunday school lesson, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 through 7, Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. Hi, Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Is this why we do things like Sunday school and instruction in the home of the catechism with our children and all the other things we do? We devote so many resources to instructing our children in the Christian faith.
Well, absolutely. This is just one of several verses throughout Scripture where parents are encouraged to raise their faith, raise their children in the faith through teaching, through repetitious teaching, through talking about what we believe, to sharing what we believe. And, you know, we have that in the Old Testament. We have it here in this letter from St. Paul, who's really recounting. Timothy knows this stuff. Paul's reminding him of it, but it's for us an instruction. That Christian parents have a vocation in raising their children in the faith, and not just Christian parents, but the whole family. And here we see Paul referencing both mother and grandmother and acknowledging that they were used by God to plant firmly this faith. Through their teaching, God worked in them as they presented his word to the young Timothy as he grew. And now he's a young pastor, as you said. And this is a very wonderful text and an encouraging text, I think, for all of us who have children or grandchildren or godchildren or who are teachers. Lots of ways to be encouraged by this because it's something God asks us to do, but it's also something God enables us to do in our vocations as parents and godparents, grandparents.
It is, he does name these two ladies, and he talks about the faith that dwelt in them and now I'm sure dwells in you, O Timothy. What do we know, if anything, about Eunice and Lois?
We don't really know a lot. I mean, here we have a reference that Lois is the grandmother, Eunice is his mother, and he's, you know, in verse 5 here of 2 Timothy, the first chapter, Paul simply says, you know, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother and your mother, and what we know is what God wants us to know about them, that obviously they were disciples of Christ, and they brought Timothy up with a sincere faith in Christ as his Savior. In another place in Paul's writings to Timothy, he very specifically talks about the scriptures and how he's known them from, you know, from his youth, and how they are able to make him wise to salvation. And and in many other ways, useful for correction and teaching and all of these kinds of things. So Paul really knows and wants us even today to understand that God worked through this grandmother and this mother. And what a great thing for us to consider in an era when motherhood, teaching children at home, is all kind of disdained and looked at as a bother, as not too exciting. You know, women, you know, if they really want to make a difference in this world, they get out there and have their career and make a mark that way. And here, Paul is really teaching us how faithfully parenting, using God's word to raise a child in the faith and in the home, makes a difference, not just for that child, but as we see here now, this young pastor who will teach others and preach to others and bring others to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit working in the word and sacrament. This disdained, cast-off, kind of boring vocation that our culture would have us think that way really is quite significant and probably one of the highest duties God can give us because it's so important for eternity's sake.
Well, Luther's famous for pointing out in his treatment of the fourth commandment, I believe, honor father and mother, that this is really the purpose for which God has given and sustains parents, father, mm-hmm. and the father and mother, is so that children might be, in his words, brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Luther's famous for saying that he can clothe children, he can house children just fine without father and mother, but this is what father and mother do. Talk about, not to discount fathers, certainly not, but talk about the unique way in which mothers, and in this case also grandmothers, are able to instruct children.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing to really to consider because maybe not as typically today, but traditionally, and I think even still today in Christian homes, mothers have a very hands-on involvement with the raising of the children, you know, from their infancy, feeding them, clothing them, changing their diapers, comforting them. Yes, fathers do these things, and maybe in our day they do them more than they did in other generations, but it's still a mother who probably has the most contact, face-to-face, personal contact with the child as it grows up, he or she grows up, and has the opportunities to have the conversations when their child comes home from school and talking about what happened, and in those opportunities to set those in the context for a child of God, and what does this mean, that these things were said at school or that this fight happened or whatever, to help kind of guide and point the child to a godly way and to God's word. Often it's the mothers who are, you know, getting everybody together on Sunday morning and getting them out the door, breakfast, teeth brushed, hair combed, and in the car on the way to church. There's quite a hands-on role for mothers raising the children, and in that, many opportunities to share their faith, to share God's word, to pray with their children, to answer their questions about God's word and what God thinks about things, all those amazing questions that come into children's minds as they begin to consider the world around them and what it all means as they grow up. So,
and speak, if you would, about fathers as well, because, I mean, this is done together.
Absolutely. And we know that there's really a responsibility, and Luther calls that out so well with his small catechism. As the head of the house, Scripture tells us the head of the house is the father, and as the head of the house, we should teach these things to his household, to his family, to his wife, to his children, really taking a lead there, providing for this teaching, doing the teaching himself, seeing that his children are raised in the way of the one true faith, and bringing the family to church and all of those things. And it is, yeah, it isn't an either or. It isn't one parent over another, but in a household of faith, it is a husband and wife who've come together as one in that marriage, who have been blessed with children, using their gifts and the vocations that God has given them, their strengths, their abilities. They come together to raise those children in the family of God, sharing their faith, modeling what it is to be a child of God, going to church, taking their children to church, talking about it, sharing the Word of God, reading that, placing a priority in the life of the family on these things. That's the role. That's the vocation here that we're talking about today. This text in Timothy focuses on the mother and grandmother. We don't know about Timothy's father. Paul's drawing out here that the influencers for him in his life of faith, God worked through the mother and grandmother. And, you know, that may be one parent stronger than the other or not, but the point is that in the role of parent, being a Christian parent, one of the most significant things we can do is to pass on the faith to our children, to share the message of salvation in Christ Jesus, and do that early and often as they grow and mature and engage with this sinful world, and come back home bruised and battered from the day, and taking their lumps and hearing from mom and dad God's word.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Timothy's instruction in the Christian faith with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Slowly go by and
feed them on your dream. Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest for the next 10 minutes of the program, talking about Timothy's instruction in the Christian faith in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and elsewhere. Now, It would seem a daunting task, wouldn't it, that a parent would sit down and they would open the scriptures. And it is. It requires that the parent also be instructed in Holy Scripture. One of the things that makes this Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, Growing in Christ, unique is that it simply doesn't leave the parent on their own or the teacher on their own to kind of relay simple facts from Scripture, because it's not only about the facts that Scripture brings us and the strict teachings that are there. It is about how Scripture is read in the first place in terms of law and gospel. There could be nothing more beneficial that you could pass along to your children than teaching them how to read and study Scripture themselves in terms of God's word of law that shows us our sin and our helplessness before God, and that word of gospel that shows us Christ and his perfect obedience on our behalf and his death and resurrection for us. You'll find that in every single lesson of Growing in Christ. Find out for yourself. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find a link to Growing in Christ under the Listen on Demand page. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pam, let's talk about the baptismal connection. You mentioned early on in our conversation, parents and sponsors, and that's a baptismal term there. There are pretty heavy promises made by parents at the baptism of a baby or a child about bringing this child to worship, placing into their hands the Holy Scriptures. It sounds like the St. Timothy stuff all over again.
Yes, that's really true. And that is, you know, the first thing that a parent does in this vocation of being a Christian parent. They bring that infant to Jesus. You know, Jesus says, let the little ones come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. How is that done? We bring these little ones to Jesus, to the waters of holy baptism, where in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, water and word combine to make that little one a child of God and bring him into the family of God. And the child can't bring himself. His parents have to bring him, and then the church joins in that beautiful baptismal liturgy that they're going to support this and encourage this, the parents, the sponsors, standing there. So important that first step be taken, and then from that, as you say, what a promise these parents make and these sponsors make to see that child that's there at the altar is raised in the faith and continues to renounce the devil, to believe in God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, to nurture that faith. And it is a daunting task, but the other part of it is God doesn't leave us to our own devices as parents or godparents, grandparents. He feeds us, and he provides for all his children in his word that is preached in the pulpits of our churches on Sunday morning, in the Lord's Supper that we partake of as we gather with our fellow brothers and sisters in the family of God. These things enrich us and our faith as parents. They offer us the things that they promise, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. They strengthen our faith and ready us for this task of being a Christian parent or sponsor or grandparent. And they also feed that child. And that's so, you know, bringing the child not just to baptism, bringing them regularly to the house of God to hear the word, to be part of the family of God in the worship service, to go to Sunday school, to learn the story of their salvation. And that's how God enables, provides for us, even as he calls us to this vocation, to raise children in the faith.
What do you say to someone, and it's probably as popular as it has been in the past, to hear well-meaning parents say something like, well, you know, I'm going to do my best to pass along my spiritual beliefs to my children, but I'm going to kind of leave it up to them when they get old enough to make up their own mind. What do you say in response to that, Pam?
Well, we of ourselves hate God. We're born hating God. We're born enemies of God, natural born enemies of God. And we can't make the right decision for ourselves. So to let it go and let a child go and until they are old enough to think it through themselves is to really, on purpose, keep them out of God's family, where all the good gifts are waiting for them. If we don't bring them to church so that they can hear the word, and we don't bring them through confirmation, don't have them baptized, bring them through confirmation and so that they can partake of the Lord's Supper, we are denying them their life nourishment for their eternal life. It's like we're starving them. What parent would starve their child and not feed them the good things that will keep them fully alive? That would be child abuse. This is spiritual child abuse, to not intentionally bring the child to Jesus, bringing him to Jesus' house, bringing him to the Word of God, bringing that word to the child, raising them in the faith. To not do that is to not be a faithful parent, and it really is spiritual child abuse. And we're playing with fire, because Satan is doing his best from the moment that child is born to win him over. And the world will join with Satan as that child grows up and goes to school and makes friends and has experiences. Satan's not waiting. He's doing everything he can to pull that child away from God. So a parent who says, "Nah, we'll wait and let him make his own decision," is a fool and not much of a parent, and truly is harming that child for eternity.
Roland is listening in Southern Illinois. Roland, thanks for waiting on the line.
Pastor and Deaconess, I just wanted to say that mothers and fathers should teach their children how to pray at the dinner table.
That's right.
And at their bedside at night. And anytime they have a problem, to call upon the name of their Savior, anytime, anywhere, the first thing they should do. And it'll stick with them if their little ones learn that from their mom and dad. I'm 62. I'm still praying my bedtime prayers that my mom taught me. And it seems like it's there for me. And I hang everything on it. So, and I would like to say the teachers in our Lutheran schools, if they would teach the liturgy to the young children so they can participate in the church service, it would be mighty good, I think.
Roland, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Southern Illinois. A couple minutes here to respond, Pam.
Well, amen. That's exactly right, to both things. And, you know, for parents who are unsure, uncertain, fearful about, oh, will I do it right? What do I do? How do I do it? We have, as Lutherans, this wonderful guidebook from Martin Luther. The Small Catechism was written for Christian parents to pass on the faith, the six chief parts of the Christian faith. He organizes it. He provides prayers and a pattern of prayer. He has the table of duties to help us understand our vocation and our duty in various vocations, and you couple that with just bringing your children to church and not dropping them at the nursery, but bringing them into God's house, and like the listener said, to help them be in the liturgy, in the worship service, hearing it, learning it, teaching it to them, teaching them the hymns. All of these things will impact them for a lifetime as a child of God. So when they're 62 or 86, as my mother is, those prayers come back. That liturgy is written on their hearts. They're able to join in. When their sight fails, they can't read the hymnal anymore, it doesn't matter, they know it. When their hearing goes, those things are there, written on their hearts for them to remember and recall. There is no more important teaching. I just had a talk with a mother whose child is winning awards for reading literature and knowing all the characters and all the plots, and can just spew these out, books way beyond a normal reading level. And
about 30 seconds here, Pam.
If they can do that, they can learn the catechism, and that's so much more important. Kids are capable. They want to learn. And this is learning for eternal life. There's souls at stake here, not just school awards or accolades or good grades. This is about eternal life for our children.
Pam, our Witness Mercy Life Together lesson for the Sunday school children has a tie-in with this week's lesson. Tell us about it with about 20 seconds.
Sure. This is really for the teachers. The Synod is releasing a new magazine called Lutherans Engage the World, and the first issue is We Teach, and we're looking at all the ways that teaching the faith is just vital to who we are in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And there will be some great articles and links to videos and other things that you can use in Sunday school to tell your children about what's going on in Africa and the mission field and other places, things that you're doing through your membership as in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's called Lutherans Engage the World. It'll be online, and it'll go to our donors and our rostered church workers. It'll be coming out in September. So we teach, boy do we. We teach God's Word that we may live.
Folks, you can find out more about this new magazine, Lutherans Engage the World, under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness Mercy Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks, Pam.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Next week, we'll talk about Titus the Pastor with Pam. When we come back, Pastor Heath Curtis joins us. We'll be doing part six of our weekly series on the seven ecumenical councils of the church today, the Second Council of Constantinople in the 6th century. Stay tuned.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues, Etc. It's the new Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues, Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.